As you know, Pastor Ginger is at Asbury, our sister congregation, and we are delighted to have Reverend Dr. Iantha Bills, who is the senior pastor at Asbury, with us today. We will introduce her more formally later in the service. Friends, we are glad that you are here. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you have landed in a good place. We pray that the worship service that we offer to God might not only glorify God, but will strengthen you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Welcome, and we pray that you will experience God's love afresh and anew in this special place. As you are able, please stand on your feet or in your hearts, and let us join in singing our opening hymn, Christ is Alive.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. How good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Please be seated.
We invite our little friends to come. Well, y'all are excited. Come on up here. All right. Boy, everybody's running. How is everybody today?
Well.
Well? Okay. Well. Well is good. That's a good response. What did we celebrate last week? And what did that mean for you? Yes. Deviled eggs, okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with deviled eggs, people. They're good. Yes. Oh, hang on. Right here.
Jesus was alive.
That was good. Amen. Yes. Went kayaking on Easter in the Potomac. That's awesome. Brooke, did you have something? It's okay. All right. So do you think Easter is over now? Yes. Singing God is not dead at church. God is never dead at church. That's right. Yeah. A church in Kentucky, God's not there dead either. He's not. That's right. She is not there. She is not dead. Do you think Easter is over? Yeah, you know what? We can talk about that one. You ever hear Pastor Ginger say, mother and father of us all? Because God is our mother and our father, right? All right. Do you think Easter is over?
No.
No.
Do you? More deviled eggs.
We're in a season that's called Eastertide. And what we're going to be doing is celebrating the resurrection of Jesus for a little while now. And you know what? My message today is God's love and joy that is in our hearts all the time. That we are an Easter people and that we can always celebrate Christ's resurrection. We can celebrate it in this church and other churches and in our lives. And we want to show God's love and joy to everybody that we encounter. So as we go through this week and in the coming weeks, remember that we are an Easter people. We have love and joy in our hearts, and we want to share that with others. Amen? All right, let us pray. God, we are your children, and we are thankful to call you Father and Mother. We pray your blessings upon these beautiful young people and all the children of the world, that we may always know of your reconciling love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where are you going? All right, hop to it. Friends, again, we welcome everyone to Foundry United Methodist Church. We are blessed by your presence and are joyful and glad to see you here. If you are a first-time guest or visitor and you feel comfortable raising your hands, you can raise them high. Our ushers are in the aisle with a booklet, All Things Foundry. It tells you more about the life and ministry here at this great church. You can pick one up now, or you can pick one up as you're exiting the sanctuary today. We welcome our sister congregation folks that are with us from Asbury. Wave your hands. Good to see you. And we are glad to have you here. Friends, we do want to know who is here. At the left end of the pew is a black folder. If you would get that, open it up. Write your name. Send the pad down the row for our first-time guests and visitors. There's an additional pad in there. We would like to collect some information from you so that we can have a time to follow up with you. If you would get your worship guide and turn it towards the back, for our friends that are joining us via live stream, there's a tab that you can click on and open it up and follow along with us. We can't mention everything, but we do want to highlight a few things. You are invited to view the Asbury and Foundry video after worship today in the chapel. The video was commissioned for Foundry's bicentennial celebration. This is the same video that we had a few weeks ago when our sister congregation Asbury was with us. We know some people did not get an opportunity to view this wonderful piece, and so you're invited to come to the chapel right out the door and to the right, and you can be on hand to watch the video. Our bicentennial team, where are you? Just wave your hands. All right. And any questions about our bicentennial, please ask these folks. We thank you so much for your tremendous faithfulness and your commitment in serving on our bicentennial team. Our LGBTQ potluck is today at 2:30 at the home of John Parkhurst. You will see information in the worship guide about that. Next Sunday, we will have special music at the 11 o'clock service to include a brass quartet and an organist that Stanley has organized and invited to come. And so we are looking forward to having that time next week. New members class orientation is also on next Sunday at 12:30. You're invited to come if you're interested in learning more about Foundry Church or joining this wonderful congregation. Please come and to the new member orientation. Friends, as we turn our attention to our time of prayer, our kneeling rails are open. You are invited to come to make your petitions known unto God. And as you go through this week in your daily prayer life, we ask that you would be in prayer for our sister congregation, Asbury. We pray God's blessings and mercy upon us as we strengthen our reconnection and our ministry of reconciliation. We are also asking you to be in prayer for our Foundry Confirmation Class of 2015. You will see in the bulletin the young people's names. They're in a box. We invite you to cut that out and post it somewhere, either at your place of business or home or wherever you would like to, and make an intentional effort of being in prayer for our confirmands as they go through their confirmation journey. We ask that you would be in prayer for Dr. Bobby McLean. He is a member of our Asbury Church, our sister congregation. He's had multiple surgeries, and we are asking our congregation to be in prayer for Dr. McLean. And then, friends, we are all aware of the shooting of another unarmed black man that was in South Carolina. We're asking for prayers for that family and also for prayers for the family of the officer that is involved. It's a difficult time, friends. And as a people of God and as a people that claim the love and reconciliation of God's amazing grace, one of the things that we can do is to try to be on the forefront of leading reconciliation. Asbury and Foundry working together and coming through our past and through our history, we are the congregations that can help in this. We are praying for these murders to stop. We are praying for respect to be restored for all people. We need to be on the forefront of helping to lead this. So my prayer for Foundry, for Asbury, and for all of our churches is that somehow God would continue to plant in our heart a desire to help us to be voices of reconciliation and love, not only through our voice, but by our actions. Amen. Pastor Al will come and lead us in a prayer after we sing together the head that once was crowned, hymn 326. Pastor Al will come to lead us, and we will conclude our prayer with number 7, the Foundry. Thank you.
gracious God, we praise and thank you for your wonderful gift of life. As we acknowledge you, the one creator of all human life, we thank you for the beautiful diversity with such a multitude of talents and gifts you have so abundantly provided. God of compassion, you sent Jesus to proclaim a time of mercy, reaching out to those who had no voice, releasing those trapped by their own shame, and welcoming those scorned by society. Merciful God, the problems facing our human family are ever present, and we are no longer isolated from one another. We are confronted daily with our addictions to violence, our hatred, and our greed. We are heartbroken. It is so easy to forget that we are an Easter people and that your Son, Jesus, is always the good news and that he has given us the remedy for our brokenness. We ask your Holy Spirit to remind us of this again and again. We ask you for the gift of hope in our lives. Banish fear and anxiety from our hearts, we pray. Prompt us to be beacons in the present darkness. We believe in the power of your grace to change our lives, and we promise this day to be once again open to that grace. Bless us with a peaceful spirit and a desire to be reconciled with one another. Make us ambassadors of reconciliation. Open our ears that we may listen with respect and understanding. Touch our lips that we may speak your words of peace and forgiveness. Warm our hearts that we may bring wholeness to the brokenhearted and dissolve the barriers of division. Guide the work of this your church and renew us with the spirit of your love. Help us and all people shape the world where all will have a place, where the flames of hatred are quenched, and where all can grow together as one. Grant that we will bring and that we will be witnesses to the love and peace which make all people wanting Jesus Christ our Lord. May the mind of Christ truly be in us, that we may live and walk in his peace, holding one another in your love. Now, guide us as one as we pray together. Number 7 on the prayer card. Our loving God, we know that our thoughts are not your thoughts, yet we long to do your will. We make it known to us, we pray. Give us today our daily bread. Remind us to take only our share. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For to you belong the universe, all true power and genuine glory. Today, we're blessed and honored to be sharing with Asbury, our sister church, and our scripture will be read by Robert Ballett, who is the lay leader at Asbury. So I invite Robert now.
Good morning. I will be reading from the original African Heritage Bible, though the King James Version, reading from Paul's second letter to the Church of Corinth, the 5th chapter, 16 through the 21st verses. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thank you.
We are delighted to have the Reverend Dr. Iantha Mills, Senior Pastor at Asbury United Methodist Church, come and to share with us the Word of God. You will find a bio in the back of your bulletin. I'm not going to read that. I want you to know a few other things about this sister in Christ. She is a native Washingtonian. You will see in the bio that she served as Dean of the Cabinet. When I was appointed to serve here 4 years ago, Dr. Mills was among the first people from the bishop's office to greet me and to welcome me into the Baltimore-Washington Conference. I have found Dr. Mills to be an amazing spirit of God and a spirit of love and reconciliation. She is a beautiful gem in the life of our church, and I am grateful and am better that I know you, Dr. Mills. Now, here's something I found interesting about her, other than the fact that she is an avid reader. She likes solving logistic problems. Now, this might make sense to you because you like it too. Oh. I'm told that you can find these books, and that's all that's in there. God help me if I ever ran across one of those. This will make a little sense to you. She met her beloved Hilton more than 23 years ago, because they've been married 23 years, but she met him at an engineering conference, and that's wonderful and fascinating. Dr. Mills loves to travel. She likes to go to Bermuda, and she likes to cruise. Now, I told her that we should form our own little clergy group and get a grant and then get some of our folks to go on a cruise. We can study the Word of God on a cruise just fine, just fine. Friends, we greet Dr. Mills and the Asbury Sister Congregation that are with us. Dr. Mills, come and share with us the bread of life.
Thank you. Good morning. Grace and peace to you. I am honored to be in this pulpit. Honored to be here, and for us, it's really a homecoming because this is where we first begun. I invite you to turn again to 2 Corinthians 5, and I will be reading verses 17 through 20. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to God's self through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to God's self, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ, since God is making God's appeal through us. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us, your people gathered here, and fall afresh upon me, Iantha, your servant. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In the movie The Mission, one of the leading characters is converted from being a slave trader of the Guarani people in South America to a Jesuit priest. But he insists upon doing penance, dragging a heavy bundle through the jungle back to the people he once enslaved. And once back in a dramatic cliffside scene where the bundle threatened to make him fall to his death, the Guaranis cut away the bundle. The people he had formerly enslaved forgave him and set him free. We too have the power to do that for each other, to forgive and to set free. Foundry and Asbury share a common history which was not the best of Christian witness. It is a history clouded by racism and the social constructs of our early beginnings. But in 2002, more than 150 years after our separation, the two churches came together in a formal service of repentance and reconciliation and began a conversation of understanding. As we renew and continue that conversation, let us look to cutting the burdensome bundle. Let us not again enslave and entangle ourselves, but rather let us look to what it means for us to live out the call to be ambassadors of Christ together, as we are so urged to do in our passage today. We understand an ambassador to be a diplomatic agent of the highest rank who represents his or her own government while living in another country. The host country typically allows the ambassador control of a specific territory, whose territory and staff and vehicles are generally afforded diplomatic immunity. Diplomatic immunity, that is that principle of international law which provides foreign diplomats with certain protections from legal action in the country in which they work. It allows foreign representatives to work in host countries without fully understanding all the customs of that country. At the same time, diplomats are still expected to respect and follow the laws and regulations of their host country. Immunity is not a license to commit crimes. In a very real sense, as ambassadors of Christ, we are very much like present-day ambassadors. We represent Christ in every way. We embody Christ in the world. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. We are like present-day ambassadors in every sense, except one. We do not have diplomatic immunity. Our actions or our inactions are not inconsequential or summarily dismissed, for we are the Christian witness in the world. We are reconciled believers, challenged to do the work of reconciliation. The original Greek for reconciliation is katalasso, which means to change or exchange. In the context of relationships, it means to change from enmity to friendship. A restoration of friendly relations, going from being fractured and broken to community. Paul tells us that God was active in Christ, inviting human beings to change their attitude and enter into a relationship with God, a relationship made possible by God's love and forgiveness. At the same time, God was entrusting the message of divine friendship and community to us, asking us to go out into the world as ambassadors of Christ. Today, we are urged to be reconciled to God and to perform the ministry of reconciliation. A Palestinian priest named Elias Tekor recounts a Palm Sunday service at his church in Israel, one in which he could see so many people who were at odds with each other. In fact, he realized that there was in reality no peace among them. At the end of the service, he made a startling decision. He walked down the center aisle And at the back of the church, he locked the only two doors to the church and took away the key. He told the people both that he loved them and that he was saddened to find them so filled with hatred and bitterness for one another. And then in the midst of stunned silence, he announced that only one person could work the miracle of reconciliation, Jesus Christ. So on Christ's behalf, I say this to you, said Elias to Kor. The doors of the church are locked. Either you kill each other right here in your hatred, and then I will celebrate your funerals, or you use this opportunity to be reconciled together before I open the doors of the church. If that reconciliation happens, Christ will truly become your Lord. Well, 10 minutes passed and no one said a word. The people sat in silence, locked inside the church. And finally, one man stood up. He was a villager serving as an Israeli policeman. He was in his uniform. He stretched out his arms and said, I ask forgiveness of everyone here, and I forgive everybody, and I ask God to forgive me my sins. He and the priest embraced, and with tears streaming down their cheeks, and within minutes, everyone in the church was crying, laughing, embracing, and sharing Christ's love and peace. Elias then announced that this is our resurrection. We are a community that has risen from the dead and we have new life. I propose that we don't wait until Easter to celebrate the resurrection. I will unlock the doors and then let us go home and go home to, from home to home all over the village and sing the resurrection hymn. Reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, Elias' community reached out to each other and to the world in a ministry of reconciliation. That was their resurrection, their new life. We are here today as Easter people, looking for the evidence of our own resurrection. But I have no plans of locking the doors of the church until that evidence appears. But I do trust that we will set a path today of true reconciliation. In his book, No Future Without Forgiveness, Bishop Desmond Tutu suggests that forgiving and being reconciled are not about pretending that things are other than they are. It is not patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awful, the abuse, the pain, the degradation, the truth. It could even sometimes make things worse. It is a risky undertaking, but in the end, it is worthwhile, because in the end, dealing with the real situation helps to bring real healing. Well, let us consider first that true reconciliation begins as we embrace our humanness, as we embrace the imago Dei, that we are made in the image of God. No one is lesser or greater than the other. Bishop Tutu shared the fine line that had to be navigated as he chaired his country's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. One condition of amnesty for crimes committed was that a full disclosure had to be made of the role played by the perpetrators. In Bishop Tutu's words, the commission worked on the basis that there was a need for understanding, but not for vengeance. a need for reparation, but not for retaliation. A need for Ubuntu, a Zulu word meaning the essence of what makes us human. Bishop Tutu explained that they sought testimony from many ordinary people who had been victims. The process, he said, had to be victim-friendly. These were men and women who we had arrogantly dismissed as the ordinary people. Bishop Tutu explained, "In my theology, there are no ordinary people. Each one of us, because we are God's representative, God's viceroy, God's stand-in, and God's carrier, each one of us is a special person, a VIP, far more important and far more universal than your normal VIP. For Christians, that Zulu word, Ubuntu, has special meaning because it is the crucified one. It is the risen Christ dwelling within each of us that makes us human in a special way. We are new creations in Christ, and daily we carry Christ into the world, to our friends, to our neighbors, to everyone we meet. True reconciliation requires that we embrace Ubuntu, your humanness and my humanness, which transcends all that threatens to divide us: race, class, gender, sexual orientation, social location. As we journey this path together, let us consider that true reconciliation is further shaped and realized as we embrace our sentness. In God's Missionary People, Charles Van Egan writes of the church's sentness. Just as Jesus gathered his disciples around him, he also sent them. In Matthew 10, there is the sending of the 12 disciples. In various gospels, forms of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, this sentness is emphasized. Discipleship must always be discipleship in movement to the world. The disciple who will not lay down his or her life for the world and for the gospel of reconciliation is not worthy of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Our path to true reconciliation requires that we embrace our sentness. It means that we go into the world as resurrection people, defeating death and despair and destruction and degradation with the love of God in Christ Jesus. There are so many places in this world where we can bear witness, standing in solidarity with our sisters and brothers while honoring our Ubuntu. On Palm Sunday, members of Asbury and Mount Vernon Place join you here at Foundry for a great day of service to prepare meals for Stop Hunger Now. We were the hands and feet of Jesus. With over 200 volunteers, in less than 2 hours, to my great amazement, we bagged 30,000 meals. Now, we have 66 United Methodist churches in the greater Washington district. What if every church joined in solidarity? Better yet, the Baltimore-Washington Conference has over 600 churches. What if all of those churches joined to Stop Hunger Now? Couldn't 600 United Methodist churches prepare 6 million meals in a couple of hours on one day? Yes, I have done the math. What does it look like for us to come together as ambassadors of Christ in this world? Think about this. In downtown Washington alone, there are at least 50 churches and places of worship. In this city, there are enough faithful people of all religions to form a human unbroken chain across K Street and in Chinatown that could shut down the economy that occurs in downtown Washington between the hours of midnight and 7 a.m. The economy to which I am referring is human trafficking. Can you imagine what it would be like night after night if faithful people of God would form a human chain that stretches from Georgetown to Chinatown, a silent yet powerful witness and protest? Night after night, such a faithful witness could break the back of an awful economy. Faithful people of God can stop human trafficking. I believe true reconciliation will come as we fully claim our Ubuntu and our sentness. There can be no compromise. We cannot pretend that things are other than they are. We cannot turn a blind eye to wrong. We cannot sit on a fence. We must take a stand. We are not excused. There is no diplomatic immunity. This is our Kairos moment. It is not chronos or calendar time. It is a Kairos moment, God's time. It is not a time that we can calculate, predict, or mark. Not a time we can control or manipulate or make happen. It is a time when God acts all by God's self. Kairos time. It is a time that God has divinely appointed, a movement of God that comes in a predictable, not in a predictable moment, but in the unexpected and in the inconvenient. It is a time that we cannot adequately articulate or explain, during which we encounter God with us, the God who breaks out of our boxes and writes beyond the lines of our limited understanding and imagination, the God who cannot be contained in our enlightened yet finite minds and consciousness. In short, it is a time we meet a surprisingly grace-filled and reconciling God. This is our moment of grace, our favorable time in which God is challenging us, Foundry and Asbury, to be reconciled unto God and each other, that we might be reconcilers in the world. Now is that time. Our time under God is now. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you've heard the word of God. It is now our turn to respond by giving of ourselves, our lives, our money, all of us. We ask that you be generous as a generous people, as disciples of Christ. The ushers will come forward and we will now receive our tithes. God, combine these gifts in our hearts that we might be your ambassadors in this world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Join me in the litany printed in your bulletin. We are born of the same fire, a fierce flame that burned our capital, but birthed a church. As we grew in faith,
we were united in love,
divided by race. Broken by the injustice of racism, we separated. Now we come together again, mindful of our shared beginning. Looking forward, we are connected by hope, joined in love, and humbled in God's presence. Knowing that we have come this far by faith, we are one in the Spirit, reconciled in Christ, trusting that our faith in God will lead us to the kingdom.
Friends, before we depart, I do need to share some good news that I did not share at our announcement time. We have a double blessing joy in the Wellborn family, grandkids, twins born to Jonathan and wife Stephanie Heffernan. The twins were born on March the 30th, Sterling Witt and Florence Blake. They came in this world a couple of weeks early, but just a hair over 6 pounds. Thanks be to God. We greet you and welcome your brand new double of joy. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us greet the Reverend Dr. Iantha Mills again as she prepares to send us home.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all until we gather together again. Go forth as reconciled people to be reconcilers. Go forth to love and to serve your neighbors everywhere. Amen.